you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. As we get started, we'll be looking at a number of other verses throughout the message as well. We're now entering the second half on our series on prayer. And in the first half of our series, we studied some of the most important things that God tells us to pray for in His Word. We talked about praying for forgiveness, praying for healing, praying for victory over sin. So in the first half, we looked at some of the most important things God tells us to pray for. Now in the second half of the series, we want to look at some of the most important people whom God wants us to pray for. So we're going to be talking about praying for church and family, praying for the lost, and praying for missions. And if I was going to take this whole series and just break it down into a real simple outline for you, it would be simply this: how, what, and who, okay? That's really what we've been talking about. In the introduction to the series, we just talked about how do you pray? How do you pray for things? And then in the first half, we focus on what do we pray for, what? Now in the second half, we're going to focus on who do we pray for, who? And the first group of people we'll be looking at under who is church and family, praying for church and family. So we're going to begin in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. If you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look into this very important topic of praying for church, praying for family, Lord, this is such an important message for all of us this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be alert and attentive to your word this morning, that we'd be attentive to your Holy Spirit as you might speak some very specific things into our hearts and lives from your word this morning. Help us, Lord. We want to grow in our prayer lives and in these two areas that we'll be looking at this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're moving into the second half of our prayer series. Who does God want us to be praying for? And we're going to start this morning by talking about praying for church and family. We're going to be looking at a number of different things under this, a number of points to look at, and a number of scripture references. And so I would encourage you to take out the outline that's in your bulletin to follow along and perhaps take down some notes as we walk through this. But, you know, according to the Lord's Prayer that we just read, okay, the Lord's Prayer, our very first concern in prayer is what? Our first concern in prayer is that God's name would be honored, that God's kingdom would come, and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are wonderful prayers. But you might wonder, how does God do that? How does God actually work those things out in this world in which we live? Well, a large part of God's kingdom building in the world takes place through, dun-da-da-dum, church and family. That's how God does it. The family is the basic building block of society. As the family goes, so society goes. The church is God's primary means of mission in the world. As the church goes, so God's mission in the world goes. The stronger our churches and families, the more God's kingdom will advance in this world. And that's why it's so important. We must pray for our families. We must pray for our churches. Now, there's a lot of other people we can and should also be praying for. We're going to be talking about some of them in the next couple of weeks. But church and family, they need to be right at the top of the list, right? So let's get into it now. Let's talk about praying for church and family. You'll notice at the top of your outline, we want to begin by talking about the importance of church and family. We need to understand the importance of both church and family. And the first thing we could learn from God's word is that the church and family are two of the three primary institutions that God has instituted on earth for the good of mankind. The third one, of course, is government. We read about God instituting the family in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. God institutes the family. Jesus instituted the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he told Peter, he said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then we read about God establishing authorities and governments in Romans 13, verse 1. It says, Paul writes, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So there you have it. Three major institutions: family, church, government. And although we're going to be focusing really on praying for church and family in this message, we should also realize the Bible also says pray for government. We're not going to be able to get into that in this series. We've got so many other things we're covering. But yes, we should also be praying for those in government and in authority. So why is it so important we pray for church and family? First of all, because church and family are two of the three primary institutions that God has instituted on earth. Secondly, we also need to understand the biblical principle of stewardship. And we read these words of Jesus in Matthew 25, 21. The context is the final judgment. We've lived our lives. This person is standing before God. God is reviewing their life and their stewardship and all that they've done. And we read in this case, Matthew 25, 21, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. In other words, we are responsible for the things that God has given us. We are responsible for the areas where God has placed us. And that means that our primary responsibilities when it comes to prayer are our own families and our own churches. Now, we should also be praying for other areas. As workers, we should also be praying for our places of work, right? As students, we should be praying for our schools. As neighbors, we should be praying for our neighborhoods or housing complex where we live. As citizens, as we've already mentioned, we should be praying for our government and leaders. But our primary responsibilities for prayer are our own families and our own churches. So now we're going to talk about each of those. Let's talk about praying for family first. That was the very first institution God put in place in the Bible, Genesis 2:24. So we'll begin there. Praying for our families. I was first convicted about praying regularly for my family when I was reading in the book of Job. You know, and you start the book of Job and you read that first chapter, it says Job was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. So Job's someone that we should emulate, right? We should try to imitate Job. And then we read that Job had seven sons and three daughters. And what did this righteous man who was pleasing God, what was he doing regarding his children? He prayed for them. He prayed for them. We read this in Job chapter 1, verse 5. Early in the morning, Job would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. And so Job prayed for his children. He offered a sacrifice for them each morning. He made a practice of praying for his children. Now you notice it doesn't say anything here about Job praying for his wife. And look how she turned out, right? So, you know, you got to be careful with that. It's important to pray, right? So it's important to pray for your children and your wife. Pray for your family, okay? Now, I pray for my extended family during the week as well. But when it comes to my primary daily prayers, I pray for my immediate family. So Rosie and Ramon and Sam and Rachel and Tim. And I have general prayers. I pray for all of them. I also have specific prayers for each one depending on what their various needs or circumstances are at the time. But your family, though, they're the ones who are closest in relationship to you. And think about it. If you don't pray for them, who will, right? It's not someone else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. They're your first responsibility in prayer. And so you need to pray for your immediate family every day. Are you married spouses? You have a special responsibility to pray for your spouse. Parents, you have a special responsibility to pray for your kids. Grandparents, you have a special responsibility to pray for your grandkids. Young people, how many of you pray for your parents? I hope and pray that you do, because you need to do that as well. If you're still at home and you know that, and then you've got your core group, your parents and your siblings, pray for them. So if all of us have this responsibility, if we each have a responsibility as Christians to be praying for our families, well, what do we pray for them then? What do we pray for them? And there's so many prayers in the Bible that you can use to pray for your family, and there's some wonderful books that can help you look at those. But what I like to do, I like to keep things simple. It just helps me out. And so what I like to do is I like to use the model of Psalm 23 from the Old Testament. That's why we read the 23rd Psalm earlier in the service. The model of Psalm 23 and then the Lord's Prayer from the New Testament. That's why we read the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of this message. And so I use those of them to get those two things together as a guide for prayer when I pray for my family. Sometimes I'll pray one or the other, or sometimes a combination of both of them together. But if you look at Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer, they kind of line up with each other, and you're going to see that this morning. And so we can learn five things that we should be praying for our families. Be praying for our family's physical needs, and these are all in your outline, for their spiritual needs, for God's protection and care, for family relationships, and for God's guidance and direction in their lives. It's all there in the 23rd Psalm and Lord's Prayer. Let's take a look at it. We'll dig a little deeper. First of all, we need to pray for their physical needs. We read this in Psalm 23, the first two verses. This is about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, taking care of our physical needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then when you go to the Lord's Prayer, you find the same thing. We're supposed to pray for physical needs. Give us today our daily bread. And so we should pray for the physical needs of those in our family. Pray for health and work and finances and food, all of those things. Sometimes we think God only cares about the spiritual aspects of our lives, but that's not true. God also cares about the physical aspects. God made us physical creatures in a physical world, and so God cares about the physical aspects of our lives as well. So that's the first thing you should pray for your family. Pray for their physical needs. Secondly, pray for the spiritual needs of those in your family. We see this next in Psalm 23 in verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Spiritual needs. Find the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. What's next in the Lord's Prayer? Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So you pray for your family's spiritual needs. Now, our biggest spiritual need, right? Our biggest spiritual need is salvation. Nothing bigger than that. So if you have family members who do not know the Lord, then make it your daily prayer to pray for their salvation. Next week's message is going to be all about that, praying for the lost, praying for unsaved loved ones. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that right now. We'll learn more about that next week. But if they don't know the Lord, pray for their salvation. If they do know the Lord, pray for their spiritual growth. Pray for their walk with the Lord. And I often pray straight from Psalm 23 when I'm doing this. For example, I might pray for my wife. I might say, Lord, please be with Rosie today. Restore her soul. Lead her in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Or I might pray for my children. Lord, be with my kids today. Help them in their fight against sin. Lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help them to walk closely with you today. So you pray for your family's physical needs. You pray for their spiritual needs. Thirdly, pray for God's protection over your family. And that's what we see next in Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord's Prayer, same thing. Very next verse, Jesus tells us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. So I always pray a prayer of protection over my family in the morning. Because once again, if I don't pray this for them, who's going to do it, right? Who else is going to pray for them every day? And I don't want them to walk out into their new day uncovered. And so I cover them in prayer. And I usually pray for them something like this. Lord, I lift up Rosie, Ramon, Sam, and Rachel, and Tim T today. I pray that you would watch over them today and that you'd protect them from all evil, danger, accident and injury, sickness and harm. That didn't take very long, did it, right? See, it doesn't take a long time to pray for our family. We just need to do it. We need to build up the daily discipline of regular prayer. Because if we don't, we're going to leave our loved ones uncovered in prayer as they begin their day. By the way, when I get to praying for my family's protection, that's kind of a long list, evil, danger, accident, injury, sickness, and harm. So I use this little device to remember all that. And this is how it works. This is what I've done. It's all written down, you know, the things on your sheet anyways. But there was a man who used to attend our church. His name was Ed. A lot of you will remember Ed. Ed was one of the smartest guys I've ever met. Now you really know which Ed I'm talking about, right? Ed was so smart that sometimes you think, is he for real? This guy must be a computer. He must be an artificial intelligence. And so what I do is I think this. I go, Ed, E-D, right, evil, danger, AI, artificial intelligence, accident, injury. And then for sickness and harm, I go, shh. So I just do this little thing. Ed is artificial intelligence, shh. Ed, AI, shh. Evil, danger, accident, injury, sickness, harm. I know, I'm really weird, okay? But it helps me, okay? It helps me to remember these things, and I don't want to miss anything. I want my family to be covered in prayer. So what do you pray for your family? What do you pray for your core group? Pray for their physical needs. Pray for their spiritual needs. Pray for their protection. Next, number four, pray for their relationships. We see this next in 23rd Psalm now, verse 5. Where David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It's a beautiful picture, sitting down at the table with your family, with your loved ones, sitting down in peace, even as your enemies are all around you. You're at unity and peace together. And then in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also, next, he teaches us to pray for our relationships, specifically forgiveness. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So pray for your family's relationships. Pray for peace. Pray for unity. Pray for forgiveness. If you're married, pray for your relationship with your spouse. If you are unmarried and desire to be married, pray for your future spouse. If you're a parent or grandparent, pray for your kids and grandkids' relationships. If your kids or grandkids are married, pray for their relationship with their spouses. If they're unmarried, pray for their future spouses. And pray that they would marry a godly Christian spouse who will encourage them in their faith and will help them to raise godly children in the Lord. Now, I currently have one married son and two unmarried sons. And so I pray for Sam and Rachel. There's the married couple. I pray for their marriage every day. And then I also pray for Ramon and Timothy, for their future spouses every day. And I pray that God would prepare their future spouses for them. And just as important, I pray that God would prepare them for their future spouses, right? Both of those are important. I pray that God will lead them to the right person who will love them and encourage them and help them as they walk with God. And that they will love and serve God together for his kingdom. So that's the fourth thing you pray for your family. Pray for your family's relationships. And then finally, number five, pray for God's guidance and direction in your family's life. We read this in Psalm 23. We're going to jump back to verse 3 and then go forward to verse 6. Put it together. He guides me. There's that guidance again. Guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We also find a prayer for guidance and direction right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so pray for God's guidance and direction in your family's life. Pray for God's will to be done in your family's life. Pray that God would fulfill his purposes in each member of your family. So those are the things I pray for my family every day. I do it first thing when I get up in the morning. I've told you this already. I like to go for a prayer walk in the morning. And when I begin my prayer walk, I spend some time just praising God first. He sings some songs of praise, and then I confess sin, and then thank God for various things. But then I get right to it. I get right to praying for my family because I want to cover my family in prayer first thing in the morning before they even get up and get going. Now, maybe your prayer time is at night. If that's for you, what I would do if I was praying at night, I would just simply pray these things for the next day before I'd go to sleep. And just say, God, please be with my family tomorrow. And I'd cover the next day for them in prayer, you know, if that's the way it works for you. But my first responsibility as a Christian is to pray for my family. Moms and dads, you have a special responsibility to pray for your children as God has entrusted them to your care. And dads, you have a special responsibility to pray over all of your family as God has especially entrusted the spiritual leadership of your home and your family into your care. So that's your first priority as a Christian. Pray for your family every day. Okay, let's go to the second one now. How about praying for church? What should you pray for your church family? Once again, there are a number of things you should be praying here. They're in the outline of your bulletin once again, but these are the ones we'll look at this morning. You should pray for the people in your church, for your church's leadership, for your church's ministries, for your church's growth in various areas, for your church's witness in the community, and then finally for your church's missions around the world. We'll take a look at each one of these now briefly. First of all, pray for the people in your church. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6:18, he says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, the church isn't the building, it's the people. Pray for the people in your church. Every week we publish a new prayer list, updated. We put it out in the round table. We put it in the literature rack that's on the wall. And I would encourage you, make it a habit. Every Sunday when you walk out from church, pick up an updated prayer list. See who needs prayer. If you have a prayer request, call into the church office. We'll put you on the list, and people will pick it up, and they'll pray for you. But we pray for people. And then there's other ways you can pray for people in your church. Maybe you're part of a small group or Bible study. Get the names of everybody in your small group or Bible study. Pray for the people in your small group. Maybe you're involved in a ministry team, either one of the committees of the church or a choir or a praise team or whatever the ministry is. Pray for the people on your ministry team. And please, everyone, always be praying for God's protection for this campus, for every person who steps on this campus every week. Pray for the people in your church. Secondly, you should pray for the leadership of your church. Because right after Paul says in Ephesians 6:18 to pray for all the saints, he immediately says, very next verse, verse 19, he says, pray also for me. Why? Because Paul was a leader in the church and he knew he needed God's the prayers of God's people. So pray for your church's leaders. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your deacons. Pray for their families. Pray for wisdom in the decisions that they're making. Pray for other people in positions of leadership in your church. Now, I know every pastor likes it when someone comes out after the service and says something, I really liked your sermon today, Pastor. But do you know what I really like to hear? I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. There are no sweeter words to a pastor's ear. Thirdly, pray for the various ministries of your church. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. It was he, Christ, who gave some to be pastors and teachers, not to do all the work. It says to do what? To prepare God's people for the work, God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so you need to pray for the various ministries of your church. Pray that God would be glorified in those ministries. Pray that people would step up and step forward and volunteer and serve. Pray that the body of Christ would be built up together, that we would all become mature in Christ. Number four, pray for your church's witness. Pray for your church's witness. Jesus prayed this in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about his disciples. He just finished praying for his disciples. He says, now my prayer is not for them alone. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. You know who that is? That's us, okay? So Jesus is praying for us right here. Well, what is he praying for us? That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so pray for a divine unity in the church that will be a powerful witness to the community. Pray for the gospel to be proclaimed clearly. Pray that each person would share Christ with those around them and in their lives so that others will come to know Jesus and help grow the church for God's glory. Which leads us right into our next prayer request, number 5. Pray that your church would grow. Because churches are supposed to grow, right? It's the way God's kingdom works. Jesus said this in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. God's kingdom is meant to grow and to minister to many. And so I pray for 4 areas of growth for our church. These are my regular prayers. First and foremost, I pray for spiritual growth. Pray for the spiritual growth of our people, that we would be learning more of God's word, that we'd be growing closer to Christ, that we would be loving each other more deeply, that we'd just be growing in our walk with the Lord. Spiritual growth. Secondly, I pray for numerical growth. I pray that we would grow in numbers. Why? So we can say, look how many people we have in our church. No, so that we can more effectively do God's work as a church. That we'd have more people to come together to bring praise to God and to do the work of the ministry. I also pray for financial growth. Why? So that we would have all of the necessary resources that we might do all the things God is calling us to do as a church. Then this 4th one might be a little strange, but I've already told you I'm a little strange. But I pray for demographic growth. And you go, what in the world are you praying that for? I'm simply praying that God would grow all the age groups in our church so that we can continue to minister to him and successfully continue passing the church on from one generation to the next. Because it takes all of us to do that. So those are 5 things you can be praying for your church. Number 6. And finally, you should pray for your church's missions. That one's so important that we have an entire message devoted to that in the series. 2 weeks from today, we'll be talking about praying for missions. So we'll talk about that then. Well, let me wrap this all up for us now. You and I have been given the awesome privilege and responsibility of praying for church and family. And once again, if we don't do it, who will? If you don't pray for your own family, who will? Is your next door neighbor going to spend all that time praying for your family? Well, it's wonderful if they did, but it's your job. It's your responsibility. If we don't pray for our own church, who's going to do it? The church down the street? Once again, it'd be fantastic if they said, yeah, we'll pray for your church so you guys don't have to. But it doesn't work that way. We need to pray for our church, right? If we don't do it, who will? So the question comes down, how do we do this? How do we make these prayers a reality in our lives? And the answer is you've got to have a plan. You have to make a plan. It's like we said in the first message in this series. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Now, you've got half the plan done for you already. You already have the what right here. What should I pray for my family? What should I pray for my church? You can hold on to this. You can make this your prayer list and just use that. Right? So you already have the what. Now you just need to make a plan for when. When will you do this? You need to carve out regular time in your day to pray. Because let's face it, if you don't have a specific time to do this, you're not going to find the time to do this. And I'll admit to you, if I miss my prayer walk at the beginning of the day, and sometimes I do, sometimes I oversleep, and then you're running around. If I miss my prayer walk at the beginning of the day, my set time, it's really hard for me to pray for all of these things later in the day. It's hard to fit it in. So we all need to make a plan, right? Start small if you need to. Set aside 10 minutes or 20 minutes for prayer, and just start praying each day for your church and for your family. You can use the sermon outline once again as a guide, but you would be amazed at how much you can actually pray for in just 20 minutes. You can pray for a lot. At the end of the 20 minutes, you go, wow, I just covered my whole family in prayer. I prayed for my church. I lifted these things up to the Lord. You can do it. Can you imagine the difference it would make if everyone here today began praying for church and family every day? Can you imagine the difference it would make in our families for God's kingdom? Can you imagine the difference it would make right here in our own church for God's kingdom? So my prayer for you today is simply this, that you will make time in your schedule and that you would have a definite plan for praying for church and family. The world around you literally depends on it. Let us pray. Well, Father God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you so much for the instruction your word gives us in our responsibilities before you. Lord, we confess that we have all fallen short when it comes to how we could be or should be praying. And Lord, we're sorry for that. But Lord, I pray that rather than be discouraged about the past, you would help us to be encouraged for the future. And Lord, we just ask your help. Help us to grow in our prayer life. Help us to grow in these areas of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.